The following program is brought to you by the friends and partners of Andrew Womack Ministries, celebrating 40 years of sharing God's unconditional love and grace. Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack. Today, Andrew reveals how to stop struggling with sin and begin to realize God's love in his series, The War Is Over. Now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series entitled, The War Is Over. I'm just really getting started in this. I started it last Monday. And I'm basically taking this scripture from Luke chapter 2, verse 14, where the angels sang at the birth of Jesus, and they said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." And I've been sharing that that is not peace among men, but peace from God towards men. And the reason that this was so significant is because there had been war prior to this. The wrath of God was poured out upon man because of their sin. And the wrath of God was always there to a degree, but the law really released the wrath of God. Later in this series, I'm going to talk more about this, and we're going to share some things about it. But under the old covenant, there was a wrath from God, an hostility from God against us because of our sin. And sin was imputed unto us. Sin was held against us. But when Jesus came, Jesus paid for our sins and stopped the wrath from God towards men, the men who accepted Him as their Savior, and to a large degree towards the entire human race, whether they accepted Him or not. Of course, if a person doesn't ever accept Jesus as their Savior, then eventually their sins will be imputed unto them and God's wrath will come to pass on them. I believe that there is still the wrath of God if a person rejects Jesus, but in a sense you could say it this way. It's not over their individual sins. They've been paid for. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2 says that Jesus is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So Jesus didn't just pay for the sins of those who He knew would accept Him and become Christians, but Jesus paid for the sins of the whole world. It's not our individual sins that's going to send us to hell, but I believe that the sin that is going to send people to hell is the sin of rejecting Jesus as their Savior. God the Father loved us so much that He sent Jesus to this earth, and Jesus paid twice what was due for our sins. I was sharing that yesterday out of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 2, where He said, "Speak to Jerusalem that her warfare is over, that her iniquity is pardoned, because she's received of the Lord's hand double for all of her sins." And that was talking about through Jesus. Jesus paid twice as much as what our sins deserved. And if you understand this and the great love for God to become a man and to suffer for what He didn't do, but what we did, pay our debt and our sins, for a person to reject that, that's worse than homosexuality. That's worse than adultery. That's worse than murder. That's worse than any sin you want to ever mention. There isn't a hell deep enough or an eternity long enough to punish people enough for the rejection of Jesus. But it's not their individual sins, really, that are sending people to hell. Again, I refer to 1 John 2, 2, that Jesus is the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The sins of the whole world have been paid for, but if a person doesn't accept Jesus, they're going to go to hell for the singular sin of rejecting Jesus. And that's what John chapter 16, verses 8 and 9 and 10, right in there say, that the Holy Spirit, when He has come, will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And then it says, of sin, because they believe not on Me. Just one sin, not sins, of sin, singular. The singular sin of not believing on Jesus. That's what it's all about. It really just comes down to, have you made Jesus your personal Lord? If you have, then your sins have been paid for. The war is over. God is not imputing sins unto you. God is not holding it against you. You don't have to go around with a sin consciousness, an unworthiness feeling. You don't have to sit there and suffer your prayers not being answered because you haven't done everything right. God is not mad at you. The war is over. This is exactly what these verses in Isaiah chapter 40, speak unto Jerusalem. That's just the way we would say this. Speak unto the people of God, those who've entered into covenant with God, that the war is over. Your iniquity is pardoned. Because there has been twice the payment that was needed to set you free from sin. And I was making this point on my program yesterday. I don't want to go back and spend the whole program on this, but it needs to be said that people take what I'm saying and they criticize me because you're just making light of sin. No, I'm not making light of sin. People who think that you still have to suffer for your sin, that Jesus, of course, paid for your sins, but you also have to suffer. People who say that are making light of Jesus and of what He paid. And I just want to take some scripture here and try and amplify and show how much Jesus suffered for our sins to set us free so that this war could be over. And if you could begin to start placing greater value on what Jesus did, then I believe it would help you to understand that Jesus paid it all, that there is nothing left to pay. And that if I try and add anything to what Jesus has done, then I immediately cheapen the whole thing. There is nothing I can add to it. Jesus is so pure, His sacrifice was so pure that if I try and put any of my goodness to it, any of my remorse, if I try to pay in some way for my own sins, then I have just polluted what Jesus has done. The only appropriate response, if you fully understand what Jesus did, is just to humble yourself and to receive it and say, I don't deserve it, but you know what? I will receive it. And then just take full advantage of it and enter right into the presence of God just as if you had never sinned. Man, that's awesome. Look at these verses in Isaiah chapter 52. And again, if I had time to put all of this into perspective or into its proper context, it would just strengthen this. I am not taking scriptures out of context. If you were to read from Isaiah chapter 40 all the way through Isaiah 54, it's basically, there are exceptions, but basically it's just prophecies about the coming of the Messiah and what He would accomplish and how it would change us. And it's talking about that very thing in Isaiah chapter 52 and in verse 13. It says, behold, my servant, and this is talking about Jesus, the Messiah, shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of man. And what he's doing is saying, in the same way that you have suffered, and he was talking to the Jews who had suffered rejection, persecution, they'd been led into exile. Part of the nation of Israel was already there. The other part was headed that direction. And they had suffered shame, and they were just a shadow of the glory that the nation of Israel one time had. And in the same way that they had suffered, he begins to say, so Jesus suffered. And we find out later on as you go through chapter 53 that Jesus suffered for us. So any person who is watching this program who has ever suffered anything, Jesus suffered likewise and even more than what you suffered. Again, I refer back to Isaiah chapter 40 verse 2 where it says, you have received of the Lord's hand double for all of your sins. Not necessarily you, but through Jesus, vicariously through Jesus. There has been twice as much suffering as your sins deserve. Jesus suffered more than what was necessary to pay for your sins. And that's what this is talking about. So again, in verse 14, as many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man. The word visage is just an old English word for face, is what it's talking about. And it says that his face was marred more than any man. Now, you know, he took beatings. There was a crown of thorns pushed down into his forehead. And I actually saw some of the thorns that were probably used to make that crown of thorns. And they had, thorns that were that long, over an inch, maybe 2 inches long. And they were pushed down into his forehead. His forehead was punctured. He was beaten mercilessly. And even though that was terrible, this says that his face, his visage, was marred more than any man. You know, even the physical beating that he received from the Romans during his crucifixion, Even though that was terrible, I don't believe that is all that there was to this. The Scripture says, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, it says, He took sin in His own body on the tree. That's what it says, 1 Peter 2, 24. And that sin was, I'm sure that you've seen in people's face before what sin has done to people. You've seen people that you could tell they've lived a hard life just because of the way that they looked in their face. Think of multiplying that times billions and billions and billions of people on this earth. The sin of the entire human race physically entered into His body on the tree. I believe that affected the way that He looked. And then you add to that all of the sickness and disease. Think about how disease has affected people. I remember one time a man came to my meeting and this was in Kansas City, and his eye had been eaten up by cancer. He lost his eyeball and this cancer had grown out of his eye and was hanging over half of his face. And it was grotesque looking. There was another man at that same series of meetings in Kansas City who came up to me, and he had a towel that he was holding over his face, and he was asking me to pray for him. And I couldn't understand what he was saying. And I said, you know, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to ask you to remove this towel because I can't understand you. And when he removed the towel, his nose and his lips and a lot of his facial tissue was gone. You could see up inside of him because cancer had eaten his nose, and you could see up in his gums and stuff. And I mean, it was grotesque looking. You know, the Bible says Jesus looked worse than that. His face was worse than any man who had ever lived on the earth. You know, I know that there's some people that are probably thinking, man, you're presenting this terrible image, and this makes me feel uncomfortable. Why would you be saying things like this? Because people really don't believe that Jesus paid it all. They believe that Jesus just paid a portion, that Jesus paid, you know, if it was like your mortgage, He came and paid the part that you were behind and got you caught up, but now you've got to keep current and you've got to keep making those payments. No, Jesus didn't just pay a portion. He didn't just pay something that you couldn't pay. Jesus paid it all. He paid more than what was necessary. And this verse is talking about how that His face was so marred more than any person who has ever walked on the face of the earth. And why did He do that? Because of your sin and my sin. And then for you to think that, oh yes, He did all of this, but I've also got to suffer every time I sin. I can't just expect to walk into the presence of God and fellowship with Him just like I've never sinned. I've been such a terrible person. Well, the person who says that, you know what you're doing? You are exalting and magnifying your sin. You're making your sin bigger than Jesus' atonement. What I'm trying to do is to show you that Jesus' atonement was infinitely greater than your sin. And it goes on to say in this last part of this 14th verse, Isaiah 52:14, and His form more than the sons of men. This is, if you look this up, I think it's the NIV, it says so that He didn't even look human. I forget the exact wording, but if you study this out, this is exactly what this is talking about. His face was marred more than any person who has ever walked on the face of the earth. And His form was so destroyed that He didn't look human. You know, many of you saw the show, The Passion of the Christ, and that was one of the most graphic depictions of the crucifixion of Jesus I suspect that has ever been made. And yet, Jesus still looked human in that. Matter of fact, Mel Gibson, the man who was the producer of that film, I heard an interview with him, and he said that he had to tone down what he believed from Scripture actually happened, because if he would have presented it as graphic as it really was, it would have been triple X rated and nobody would have watched it. So by his own admission, it was worse than what he thought he could get by with portraying in a movie. And according to Scripture, it was much worse. According to this verse, he was so brutalized that he didn't even look human. He wasn't recognizable as a human. And again, I believe that this goes far beyond the beating that the Romans gave him. Even though that was graphic, you could beat a person and they would still look like a brutalized human being. But this says that he wasn't even recognizable as a human. Now, how could that happen? Again, I believe that you take these other scriptures, 2 Corinthians 5:21 and 1 Peter 2:24, and you see that Jesus took our sins. And according to Isaiah chapter 53, we'll be getting into these verses maybe on tomorrow's program. You'll see that by his stripes we were healed. He took our sickness and our disease in his body. And here's what I believe happened. I believe that every deformity that has hit any person in the human race, every cancer, every growth, and you know, I've seen people that have had swollen heads, you know, water on the brain. I've seen people that had elephantitis and things where their joints and their things just are grotesque looking. I saw a picture on the internet not long ago of a man, and I forgot what they called this disease, but his face was so distorted, it nearly didn't look like a person. It really looked like one of these science fiction type of things. It didn't look human. I believe that every sickness, every deformity, every vile thing that has ever happened in the human race, all of that entered into the physical body of Jesus. So that the Roman beating, of course, was terrible, but you combine that with taking all of these deformities and all of these plagues and diseases, and Jesus literally didn't look human. It looked like just a hunk of meat or something hanging on the cross. Now, again, I know that some people are offended by me trying to make this as graphic as I am, but what I'm trying to do is to say that Jesus paid more than was due. And all I've been doing is just describing the physical suffering. You know, one of the drawbacks of that show, The Passion of the Christ, is that all it was physical. All it could do was show you this physical suffering. It could not portray the spiritual and the emotional suffering. You know, I could spend weeks, and I believe I still wouldn't be able to do a good job trying to portray what it must have been like for pure, holy God who had never known sin to take our sin not only into his body and suffer the hurt and the pain and all of the physical things, but just think about the feelings of ungodliness that sin caused. Jesus took those. Jesus, who had been pure, who is so pure that there is no way we can wrap our brain around the purity of God. And yet this pure, holy God took our sin into his own body, took our shame, bore our grief. It's going to talk about that more in Isaiah chapter 53. But just think of it this way. Think of the worst sin that you've ever committed. Think of the worst thing that you've ever done. And when you finally came to a realization of how bad it was, how you've hurt this other person or what it was that you did, think of the shame that you felt. You know, I've lived a relatively moral life compared to most people, and yet I guarantee you I've felt shame. And I've felt so ungodly. I can imagine, just take your worst moment and then multiply that times billions and billions and billions of people. And all of that entered into the soul of Jesus. He felt vile. He felt ungodly. He felt the shame and the confusion. He became corrupt. Holiness became corrupt. I'm just trying to use all of these things to say that, you know what, Jesus paid more than was necessary. And many of us just haven't sat down and thought about it. We haven't really allowed our heart and our mind to go there. And so we say, oh yeah, I've believed on Jesus. I believe that you must confess Jesus as your Savior and receive His salvation. But then we also have to tack on to it. We've got to also do certain things. We've also got to be holy. We can't just depend upon what Jesus did alone. Unless I do this and this and this, God won't move in my life. A person who is talking that way has never understood the price that was paid. The price that was paid is so much more than what was owed that there's nothing that you could add to it. Again, it'd be like me going and buying something and somebody giving their card and saying, here, just charge $1 million against my card. That ought to cover whatever he's done. Man, if they did that for a $100 purchase, that is so much more than what I owe that there would be no way I would let them charge me a surcharge, that there's no way I would pay a portion of this debt. No, this person who stepped in paid everything. Jesus paid more than you owed. And for you to still go about bearing a sin consciousness and some feeling of hostility from God and displeasure and thinking that how could God love me is actually an offense against God. I remember when I was in Vietnam, I knew that God had called me into the ministry, but you know what? I wasn't out living in overt sin, but the thing that just bothered me, I wasn't bold with my witness. There was people that I knew I should speak to, and I wasn't doing it. And I just felt like such a failure that I remember praying and saying, God, I know that I'm going to go to heaven, but how could you ever love me? How could you ever use me? I failed you so badly. And I just came to the conclusion that God was going to put me on the shelf. He wouldn't send me to hell. He wasn't going to punish me, but He just couldn't use somebody like me. You know what that is? That's a person that doesn't understand how much Jesus paid. And as I continued to grow in the Lord and as God has shown me these things, you know what? I've come to realize that that type of sin consciousness and sense of unworthiness and, God, how could you ever use me? That is a person exalting their sin to be equal to or greater than Jesus. What Jesus has done, what Jesus paid, what He suffered, He paid so much that I guarantee you it totally took care of God's wrath against you. It doesn't matter what you've done or what you do, God is not going to be angry at you. You know, I've been reading 2 Corinthians chapter 5 where it says that God reconciled the world unto Himself by not imputing their trespasses unto them. He didn't hold our sins against us. He put our sins on Jesus' account, and He punished Jesus for our sins. So I was thinking that how could God love me? And what I was doing was exalting my sin. I was more focused on my sin than I was the atonement that was made for me. And so you know what? I think that there's a lot of people that are in this same situation. And that's the reason that I'm teaching on this and letting you know that the war is over. That God paid a price that was greater than what was necessary. And He has forever satisfied His wrath. God is not angry at you. You know, I know that there's some of you that are struggling with this because I struggled with it. I remember when the Lord first showed me this, that I actually would go stand in front of a mirror and I'd take some of these exact scriptures that I've been using with you and I'd point at myself and look at myself eyeball to eyeball and say, God loves you. God's not angry at you. The war is over. And when I first said those things, I mean, all the hair on the back of my neck would stand up just thinking, oh, God, don't strike me dead for saying this. That's how much a sin consciousness and unworthiness was drilled into me. But you know what? I've been set free. I pray that this helps you. I encourage you to get these materials. You know, we also have this book printed in Spanish, so please take advantage of it. Our announcer is going to give you some information. You can either call or write, but please request these materials and then join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
The War is Over is available for the very first time in book form. In 190 power-packed pages, Andrew reveals how to stop struggling with sin and begin to realize God's unconditional love. This new book can be ordered through bookstores nationwide, or you can receive a copy when you send a gift of any amount for the work of this ministry. Request book T326 when you write or call, or when you go to our website. A Spanish version is also available. The War is Over Companion Study Guide is available for a gift of $35 or more. Request Study Guide T426 when you contact the ministry. This teaching is also available in a 5-part CD album, or it's available in a DVD album made from Andrew's daily TV broadcast. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1053C or DVD album T1053D. The first teaching in the audio CD album titled Peace and Goodwill is also available. We encourage everyone to send a gift, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. Request teaching number TK128 when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. You can reach us through our website, where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. Or you can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Again, that number is 719-635-1111. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We hope to hear from you today.
I know that many of you are hearing truths that is just setting you free. And you say, man, this is good, but I need so much more. You know, we have our website, we have a lot of different things, but really the most in-depth way that we have of sharing these truths with you is through our Charis Bible Colleges. We not only have the Bible College here in Colorado Springs, but we have over a dozen different Bible colleges spread throughout the world. We have nearly, close to 400 people that are taking the Bible College by correspondence course. There's a lot of ways that you can take advantage of this. So we've got a number on your screen. If you would call that number, you can ask and people will inform you or send you a brochure about our Charis Bible Colleges.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Decatur, Texas on Wednesday night, November 12th, Fort Worth, Texas, November 13th through the 15th, and at Calvary Cathedral Sunday morning, November 16th. He'll also be at the Arizona Biltmore Resort in Phoenix for a Gospel Truth Seminar January 1st through the 3rd, and in Colorado Springs for the annual Charis Bible College Men's Advance, February 5th through the 7th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I want to give you a special invitation to join me on January the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Phoenix, Arizona. We have struck a deal with the Arizona Biltmore Resort. It's a four-diamond resort that starts, the normal room rates start from $300 and go up from there. And we've negotiated a price of $139 for this special New Year's celebration. They're going to give that price for 3 days before and 3 days after. So you can come and enjoy a vacation in a first-class resort, plus get the Word of God. Remember, it's our Phoenix, Arizona Gospel Truth Seminar, January 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Phoenix, Arizona.
Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
People say that I'm insensitive and that you aren't compassionate towards people. You don't sit there and feel their pain. Jesus felt your pain. Jesus bore your sorrows. Jesus carried your grief. And I have compassion for people that aren't appropriating that. But I guarantee I don't understand it, and I am not sympathetic towards it. If Jesus bore my grief and carried my sorrow, I'm not going to bear it. And there's no reason for you to bear it.
That's tomorrow on Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack.